Come on, say it. He's alive. Look at your neighbor. Say, he's alive. Come on, look at the other way. Say, he's alive. Sounds like we got a few evangelists in the house. Amen? That's what we're called to do. We're called to share. I figured if I got loud enough, I'd lose my voice and Tracy would have to preach. Didn't quite work. Pastor Jim, I want you to know I love you. I'm praying for you and I miss you. Get back soon. Fix something? Good? All right. Now you can't hear me, can you? Couldn't help it, sorry. Amen. I don't get excited about a lot of things, but I can get really excited about a risen Savior. Amen? See, I know what he's done for Dwayne. I know what he's done for Dwayne. And he wants to do the same thing for you. We can talk football. We can talk cars, and I like cars. That's okay. But you want to get me started, let's talk Jesus. Amen? Amen. We were yesterday trying to finish up my notes. Go on the computer so I can print it real big so I don't have to wear those glasses. By the way, none of you took me up on my offer of the other pair of glasses I made last time for you. So I'm hoping you got your focus right and you kept it on the cross. Amen? So anyways, I don't need glasses because I printed it up. And as I go to the computer and put it all together, my wife says, well, the printer's acting up. I'm like, what? What do you mean printer's acting up? She goes, I'll fix it. Just go ahead. So I get my notes up there and I get ready and out of paper. I can fix that. So I reach in. I go, Gaylene, where's the paper? She comes over, gets the paper, shove it in there. So ready to print. I hit print. It comes out. Nothing comes out. An A here, a C there, and I'm like, great. So I look, my computer goes, you might be low on ink. Really? I might be low on ink? So I said, all right, I got to run to the store. So on my way out, Elizabeth and grandbabies were there. I said, do you want me to stop to get some pizza? She goes, well, if you don't mind, I go, yeah, I'll get pizza on my way out. So I run over to Staples, and I didn't know what time they closed. So I run over to Staples. I'm on the phone with the pizza guy, and I walk up to the door, and I grab the door, clank. I'm like, oh, no. Clank, clank. Well, look, closes at 6. It's 6:01. Somebody actually did their job on time. I'm like, all right, okay. Best Buy. I can make it to Best Buy. So I run over to Best Buy. I run in, and look at the sign, open till 7. Special orders will deliver at 8. I go, cool. I go in, and you look at the ink place, and it's almost gone. I need ink. So I'm looking around. I go, come on, there's got to be ink. There's got to be ink. And I looked way over the corner there. I walk over, and I said, hallelujah, the ink I need. See, I thought I was going there for ink. But when I go to the register, the kid asks me a question. Why do you need ink? Thank you, Jesus. I said, I get to preach tomorrow. He goes, oh. He goes, I never really thought about how much time it takes to prepare a sermon. I said, well, you know, I've read about the resurrection and the crucifixion all week long. I've been in prayer, studying, trying to get it done. And I go, it makes it a little easier knowing I'm doing it on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He goes, oh, that's interesting. And I go, do you know, by the way, Jesus loves you. And that's the message. And it's a message for every one of us, is God will open opportunities to share the word of God. And that is what we are called to do, to share a message about a risen Savior. We don't celebrate an idol. Muhammad is still in the tomb. We serve a risen Savior, a living God. Amen? All right. Let me make sure I have my notes, because this morning I noticed I wanted to add quite a bit. So I was thinking, man, I got a lot of notes. And then I remembered we didn't have Easter sermon last year. So I got twice the time. I am good. Congratulations. Okay, we're going to start out in the chapter of John. And I'm going to go a lot of places here, and I want you guys to keep up with me. But the title of today's sermon is In His Image. In His Image. In John, the 14th chapter, Jesus was trying to comfort his disciples. They couldn't understand all the messages he had. And he said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believed in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have not told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and you have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, that would be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing this work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. And they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may glorify the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you will know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." Then Judas, not Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teachings. My Father will love them, and he will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teachings. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have to say to you. Peace I leave you. My peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say I am going away, and I am coming back to you. If you love me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not say much more to you, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold over me, but he comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father commands me. Come now, let us leave. Shall we pray? Father, you are God. You are worthy, Father. You've loved us so much that you have given us Jesus, Father. What more could we ask for, Father? But then you send your Spirit upon us. And Father, we pray that in this service, in our lives, and through that television set, Father God, that you'd touch everybody hearing your word today, Father. Pour out your Spirit upon them and lift them up. And we ask that you lift up our pastor with complete healing. In Jesus' name, amen. The Holy Spirit. Do you know there's churches out there, well, at least they call themselves churches, that don't preach about the Holy Spirit? Do not preach about the gifts of the Spirit? I've heard it said that's not for today, Dwayne. That was for the apostles. Well, let me tell you something. He lives in me. If he lives in me, he can live in you also. Just ask the Father. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. Jesus is the perfect image of the Father with love and compassion for all people. It wasn't just for the Jewish nation. It wasn't just for the Middle East. It's for the whole world. Jesus loves everybody. He loves everybody. He loves you. With the chaos in this world today, I find it hard to believe that even Christians can't find peace. Read your Bible. Spend time in prayer. I turn on the news because I know my God is in control. For the Bible says, for we know that all things, Jesus is in control. I think this is a perfect opportunity for the church to reach out to the lost and say, Jesus loves you. There is a hope. There is a peace that you will only find in Jesus. That's all there is. Jesus. In 1 John 4:16, and so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. The key to the whole scripture is love. The next one I have for you is John 3:16. You guys willing to help me out with this one? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Say, I'm a whosoever. I'm a whosoever. All you got to do is ask him. Jesus is calling people to him. All you got to do is say, Jesus, I need you. I want you. Forgive me. Was that hard? My brother-in-law, Steve, was an atheist for the longest time. Went here to the Air Force Academy. Ran into a preacher one day when he was trying to make it rich. And he said, when he left there, he goes, you know, I didn't believe in God after I left one of the churches. He goes, I had enough of that. And he goes, one day I prayed, I said, God, if you're there, I want you in my life. Doesn't sound much of a powerful prayer to me. He's been a pastor now for like 30 years. He has a private school, and they teach Jesus all the way through the school. All God wants is your heart. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Anybody here perfect? Please raise your hand. Do you know how much God loved you? From one scarred hand to the other. That's how much he loved you. From one scarred hand to the other, he loved you. We're going to turn over to Luke chapter 23 and read a little bit about the crucifixion. Luke 23, verse 32. I believe I'm reading out of the NIV. I wasn't really paying a whole lot of attention what Bible translation I was in. But it said, two others, both criminals, were led out to be executed with him. When one came to a place that they called the skull, they nailed him to the cross, and the criminals were also crucified, one on the right, one on the left. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. And the soldiers gambled for his clothes by throwing dice. The crowd watched, and the leaders scoffed. He saved others, they said. Let him save himself if he's really God's Messiah, the chosen one. The soldiers mocked him too by offering him a drink of sour wine. They called out to him, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. A sign was fastened above them with the words, king of the Jews. It should have said, king of kings. He's king over everything. One of the criminals hanging beside him scoffed, so you are the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourself and us too while you're at it. But the other criminal protested. Don't you fear God even when you have been sentenced to die? We deserve to die for our crimes. But this man has done anything wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus didn't die for his sins. He died for mine. Yours. And Jesus replied, I assure you today, you will be with me in paradise. See, there was three crosses, but only two choices. You either accept him or you deny him. The choice is ours. By not doing either, it's still denial. Three crosses, two choices. Jesus, come in, or Jesus, stay out. Choice is ours. You can either accept him or deny him. The choice is ours. No choice is still denial. The life of a Christian should be a complete commitment to Christ as he was 100% committed to us. He said, I don't have to go this route. I lay my life down for you, for me, for us. Thank God every day he did. He loves you so much. Can you imagine being the disciples at this time? First, the triumphal entry. Hosanna, Hosanna. They're praising God. The disciples must have sat there and said, they got it. They understand. This is the King of Kings. They got it. They're worshiping him. And then the crucifixion. Their emotions must have been like a roller coaster. They killed him. Killed the Son of God. Who died for me. The emotions are running through their veins. First joy, then despair, then all hopes lost. And then Sunday came around. Come on. Do you ever imagine when you watch the Sanhedrin, they had more faith in the resurrection than the disciples? They said, hey, that dude might get out. Put a stone over there. Hey, put some guards around it. Put a seal on it. Where were the disciples? So, why didn't they repent? If they were worried about him getting out, why didn't they repent? Why not say, Jesus, forgive me? Instead, seal it up. Put a stone. Don't let him out. Do you know what? There ain't a big enough stone. Keep Jesus in there. You can put a mountain in that. They didn't roll the stone away so Jesus could get out. They rolled the stone away so we could see in. He ain't there. He ain't there. After the Sabbath, Matthew 28, verse 1. After the Sabbath, at dawn, the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, they rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. Repent! That's all they had to do. I can't imagine being a guard there and saying, this is going to pass and I'm going to be okay. Repent. Oh, I don't understand. If I would have saw an angel, knew he was risen, I think I would have repented in a hurry. Sometimes I don't understand people. The angel said to the woman, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He ain't here. He was risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he laid. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he is risen. From the dead and is going ahead of you onto Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell the disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them, greeting them. He said, they came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee. There they will see me. Close encounter of Jesus should always lead to worship. I can't imagine being at that tomb, having an angel move it, nobody in it, and me not repenting. I don't understand. But some of us, we just want to say, well, Dwayne, that's good for you, but I'm okay. You're not. You're not okay. Without Jesus, none of us is okay. The only way you're okay is with Christ. If not, you stand on your own merit, how good you are. Now, you might think you're good next to the criminal or the rapist or the murderer, but line yourself up with Christ, who was perfect. And tell me how good you are. You're not good. Every one of us needs a Savior. His name's Jesus. All we have to do is ask. The guards report. While the women were on the way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priest everything that happened. I think if I was the chief priest, I would have repented. You mean an angel came down from heaven? He shook the ground. He moved the stone. The body's gone. I think we need to pray. Why would you make up a story? Because they didn't care. They didn't want to serve God. They wanted to serve the flesh. You know, if I serve God, it can't be about me. It's all about Jesus. It's not about the messenger. It's about the message. Jesus. 200 years, people won't even know I existed. But they'll know Jesus. Amen? They'll know Jesus. That's the message. Oh, a God that died and loved them. And they don't want it. When the chief priests had met with the elders, they devised a plan. They gave the soldiers a large sum of money. Tell them, you are to say his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If you were asleep, that's an execution. think I'm going to tell somebody I'm asleep on duty? That's execution. So the soldiers took the money. Won't wait. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And the story was widely circulated among the Jews to this day. Amazing. All the reasons that people won't give their life to Christ. Your money is going to go away. You're not taking it with you. Everything you have means nothing. The only thing I have is Jesus, and he's risen. It's all I need. God told Jeremiah the prophet, I am your exceedingly great reward. Hallelujah. God is my exceedingly great reward. Amen? Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw them, they worshiped him. But some doubted. Blows my mind. I haven't seen him, and I believe, because he's changed me. I was a wretched sinner. I'm still not perfect, but I know he loves me, and I love him. Still doubted. What do you need? Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. A personal relationship with Jesus should always end up in worship. Aren't you glad I told you I get a little excited? You might want me to sit in the front row. You mentioned Jesus and I just get excited. When I started this message out and they told me what happened to Pastor, and my heart sank, and Tracy called and said, we got to cover some nights, Wednesday night, Friday night, Sunday night, and I might have to go. I go, whatever you need. Need me all three nights, need me one night, I don't care. Whatever you need, let me know. And then he came back, gave me a report. He goes, as soon as Kathy says something, I'll let you know. And then he came back and he goes, can you do Wednesday night? I said, sure, not a problem. And he goes, John Mark is going to take Friday night. And, you know, I love that name, John Mark. I feel like I'm way back wearing sandals, you know. I love that disciple named John Mark. I get a name like Dwayne. I'm like, really, Dad? We got to have a conversation here. But anyways, he said, will you do Easter Sunday? The kid in me wanted to rejoice right then. I go, I get to do Easter Sunday? I get to bring the message? I was so excited. I get off the phone. I tell the guys at work, and some guys from Minnesota and Iowa were listening. So I looked over. I said, you know, Jesus loves you. And my buddy just smiles there from there. He goes, I love the way you just slide things in there. Well, that's what I'm called to do, to share the gospel. Gospel means good news, right? Then why are we telling people they're going to hell? Might be a factual statement, but tell me where the good news in that. Hey, dude, you're going to hell. That sound like good news to you? I've actually heard people say that. I'm looking at them like, what's wrong with you? I'm very careful. My wife will tell you this, how I respond to all people. Waitresses or whoever. Because God might say, Dwayne, tell them I love them. Okay. I'll tell them you love them. Why? Because he commanded me to go. That's an action word. Get out of here. My dad always loved it. We'd be working together. And I remember one day I was framing, hanging a door, actually. And I'm sitting there shooting the door up, and all of a sudden God spoke to me and goes, there's a painter across the street that's been hiding to me. I want you to go talk to him. All right. Drop my nail bags. My dad goes, where are you going? I go, oh, God told me there's a painter across the street hiding from him. My dad goes, I'll meet you here. All right. So I went over there and shared. God is calling us to go. Do you realize that neighbor you do not get along with is only one prayer away from being a child of the King? That boss you don't like is just one prayer away from being a child of the King? Or that prodigal child is just one prayer away from being a child of the King? All they got to do is say, Father, forgive me. So why don't we love them into the kingdom of heaven? Why don't we share Jesus with them? Jesus never gave us a suggestion. Well, you know, I suggest you don't do that. My dad used to do that to me. And then I'd get hurt. Why did you suggest it? Some lessons are better learned the hard way. That was a painful lesson. Jesus didn't give us suggestions. And he gave us commandments. We think there's only 10. Do you realize everything he spoke as God? Forgive. Tough one, huh? Hey, there's people I had to forgive, and it took me a lot of prayer to forgive. It's a commandment. Forgive. Interesting. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image. Ooh. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Did you catch that word? In our likeness. Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. If we are then are made in the image of God, shouldn't we also walk in love? If we're not walking in love, are we walking out of character? Everything we do should be motivated by the love we have for God, the love for one another, the love to share the gospel. If your motivation is in love, I hope it ain't your bank account. What motivates you when you get up in the morning? Better be Jesus. If not, I'm going to tell you, you better start reading a little more, praying a little harder. So all of a sudden, I have to bring an Easter message. Then kind of thought, oh my, I have to preach on the greatest time in man's history? The perfect Son of God? How can I bring a message? Because Jesus. It's the only way I can stand up here, people. I don't stand up here on my own merit. God knows I'd fail. I stand up here because I love Jesus. I'd just soon sit there and let Tracy preach. I do it because I love Jesus. That should be our motivation all in itself. To be our motivation, to share him, to tell people. I'm not asking you to go door to door. You got a neighbor, right? My neighbor, Mike, looked over the fence, and I know his wife, Christine's born again. He started chatting with me. He goes, so how's it going? I go, great, I get to share Jesus. I get to preach the Sunday message. And he wasn't sure how to take him. And I shared a little more with him, and he goes, yeah, that sounds kind of exciting. Didn't take much. Only took a couple minutes out of my life. Yeah. And you say, well, Dwayne, you know, in my office, they don't let me share Jesus. Put up a sign that says, Jesus loves you. But they ain't going to say. I remember one day I was sitting in a lunchroom, and a guy was hurting real bad, and I asked them to come up, and I said, I know some of you are believers. Now, understand, this is the construction side. I got electricians, pipe fillers, boiler makers, iron workers, which don't like carpenters anyways, and laborers, all these guys. They said, we're going to pray for him. I go, come on up here. And I said, you Christian guys, let's pray for him right here in the lunchroom. We prayed for him right then and there. And all our way out, I go out, and I'm walking away, and I'm looking around. I'm like, wonder where my brother went. So I waited around for my brother, and he comes out. I said, where were you? He said, the electricians came up to me. He said, what was he doing over there? He goes, he was praying for the guy. He goes, if you need prayer, he'd pray for you too. They're like, So we start walking, and a younger Christian, older guy, but a younger Christian, said, came up to me. He goes, dude, that was brave. What? He goes, you just called him up with a bunch of unsaved people. So? He goes, how can you do that? I go, dude, one, I'm union. What are you going to do? What are you going to do to me? I'll get my BA on you, first of all. And secondly, I live in America. I got the freedom of speech. If I want to tell them about Jesus, I'll tell them about Jesus. And yes, I've been threatened to, so that's okay, though. The word God in Genesis is Elohim, plural. So when a Jewish guy tells me, we believe the Lord our God is one God, how do you know him in Genesis? Elohim. Can you count? Plural, more than one. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, hallelujah. Way to witness to him. Take the opportunity. When you're sitting there, say, Father, why do you have me here? Not because God's bored. My wife can tell you when I went to the hospital, had that emergency surgery, you have me here for a reason. Might be to humble me. I got to witness to a lot of nurses. Doctors didn't like it. He's got you where he has you to be a light unto the world. That's why he has you there. He didn't make you to live and die. He made you to share. Isn't that great? I think that's awesome that God would use a slime ball like me. When I was first saved, I couldn't believe that God could love me. He could. Ooh, it looks like I got all kinds of time. 1 John 4:8. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. John 13, 33, 34, and 35. A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. There's the key. Love. If you truly love somebody, you don't want them to go to hell. Do you want your kids to make it? You never know what the Father's going to use to reach your lost loved ones. But I promise you, if love isn't in the house, it makes it real hard. My dad was reached through a friend of mine, who I witnessed to and shared Christ with. He got born again, turned around, started my dad going to church, and my dad got born again. So what would have happened if I didn't share with my friend? I got to share with him because he lost a child that died of SIDS. I went back from Maryland to Colorado just to love on him. He wasn't saved. His wife wasn't saved. Nobody in the family was saved. Actually, I came back to see my parents. But when I found out he lost a child, I said, I got to go see him. And this dude was bad to the bone. We called him our bully bouncer. We used to love to watch him fight. The dude was good. You know? And I said, I don't care. I'm going to tell this dude about Jesus. And I went over and I loved on him. I prayed with him. And I loved on him. And they said they'd go to church with me. I was only there a week, so I took them to church. Their daughter had chicken pox, and I got, what's the worst one? was, mine was worse than chickenpox. Same must have been mad. But I got, what is shingles? Yeah, she had chickenpox. I was there. I went home, found out I had shingles. Never told them. But because I witnessed the love of God to him, to his wife, he shared it with my dad, who got saved. You don't know who's going to reach your family. You can love them. You can pray for them. But I'm going to tell you what, reach everybody around you. You know, I have guys say, look, I don't want to hear the message. Cool. I don't have to waste my time. They got to stand on their own merit. There's only one way. It's Jesus. And when he said go, it was a commandment. Share the gospel. Period. Now, if you need authority, I give you my authority. It doesn't mean much, but you have my authority to go tell people about Jesus. Better yet, you have Jesus' authority to go share Jesus with your neighbors. Amen? 1 Peter 4:8, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sin. I love Jesus. And I want to ask you something. If you have not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to come down here so I can pray with you. Don't be afraid. I did the same thing. If you need Jesus Christ in your life, come forward. I would love to pray with you. Worship band, come up. And I want you to go out of here with this last song with shouts of joy. I'm going to be over here listening. I'll be shouting on my own. But we serve a living God. Doesn't he deserve your best? Let's worship, shall we? If you would like to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, all you have to do, I'll be in the front row. Come up and see me. If you need prayer for something else, I would love to pray for you. Amen? You ready, pup? Take it away.